Welcome to the Salty Seekers, where you can hang out with friends and talk about all areas of spirituality and the metaphysical while knowing you don't have to be pure love and light to do it. Hi, and welcome back to the Salty Seekers. Today, we're going to just be shooting the shift. If you're not familiar, this is once every month or so, we just record what would normally be one of our phone conversations, and you guys get to hang out because the topics are all over the place, and it's usually fun and interesting, at least to us. I think we're amazing. Do you think we're amazing?
I think you're amazing. I'm very critical of myself.
Well, thank you. Well, I will cover your criticalness, and I will think you're amazing for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I have your back. What are friends for?
Tacos. They're for tacos.
I love a taco. And I think from listening to this and hearing us talk about this, we're starting to get comments. I'm starting to get memes sent to me about tacos and taco trucks and like taco events. And I'm like, as my granddaughter, Vera, little Vera would say, and I am here for it. That's what she would say. I sent you something from Facebook earlier today. And I was like, I think this should be like our first on location shoot.
Oh, that would just be misery.
For the Taco Fest 25 of Cleveland. The Cleveland Taco Fest.
That's kind of far north, and I'm very worried about.
Look, dude, I even made it in the summer, so you didn't have to deal with snow. Quit being a whiny baby.
No, I wasn't worrying about the snow, but I was worried about snow-colored people making tacos. And, it's like, oh, this is great. It's Taco Bell seasoning pack at night.
I did not expect that.
White okay. People taco night.
Oh my God. First of all, let me compose myself because that was funny. But second of all, to put your mind at ease a little bit because your point is valid, okay? But being this far north, I mean, Cleveland and the Northeast Ohio area is kind of the international melting pot that it is. And we have every culture, every ethnicity, and we can have a little flavor up here. Now, if you go further south, in Ohio, hence our conversation one or two episodes ago where I said Northern and Southern Ohio should be two different states. Southern Ohio, not so much, but Northern Ohio, we have some flavor.
Okay. So what you're saying is Northern has flavor, but if you go South, it's going to be like, yeah, we got good Mexican around here. Taco Bell.
Right.
Good.
Now, Southern Ohio, they'll have some dope ass Appalachian food. If you're looking for some good hillbilly cooking,
raccoon,
no offense.
You like coon?
Stop it.
You like possum?
Stop it.
Delicious.
I'm talking biscuits and gravy. And,
squirrel gravy.
Boy, you're going to get so many hate comments. Please direct them to Jay.
And listen to my accent. It's not because I'm making fun of them. It's because I see it around me.
You're one of them.
Yeah, I have cousins like, they're going through hard times. Like, yeah, I've had squirrel for last week. I'm like, come on, let me go buy you a pizza. Jesus.
Yeah, but up here, I would, and Ohioans, Buckeyes, don't come for me. I'm just speaking from experience. In my location, we tend to have more Puerto Ricans than Mexicans. So we have some really like amazing Puerto Rican food and whatnot, but we do still have some good Mexican food too. So I'm just saying it would be fun to try and find out. And if it's all shit, it would be fun to talk about it. Right? It'll give us a topic of conversation.
Well, if we're going to do that, you have to come down here for a barbecue fest.
Invite me.
I have to figure out when it is again. I don't remember.
That's all I'm saying. Invite
me. It tends to be in one of those periods like now. It's like next month, I think. But man, there's been some years when storms are coming through and it's like, we're still doing it. And it's like, oh my God.
Like, did you say next month, like May?
Yeah. Mm. I have to look. Sometimes if you're lucky, you can find vendors that you do business with and you can get in that way. Mm-hmm. There is one, I don't know if they do this anymore, but it was like the dream because they needed blind judges. Just, they have expert judges, but they also have blind judges. Mm-hmm. It's like, man, that's a dream job. Of course, you can't know who you're eating, what restaurant, but imagine if they're tasting like, oh, amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, amazing.
Sounds yummy. Of course, post-surgery with my little 4 to 6 ounce stomach, I can eat like a half a cup before I'm like, I'm going to die. I'm so full. Those events are kind of wasted on me, but I still like to try to participate.
Yeah, you get a puke bucket and like, this is delicious. Make room. Next one.
I still think like a big girl. You know what I mean?
It'll be like a wine tasting. You just Spit it out and go on to the next one.
I have to, because for those of you out there that don't know, when you have a gastric sleeve surgery, it's a weight loss surgery. If you don't know what it is, you can Google it. But they basically, you know, your stomach is kind of shaped like a kidney bean. They stick like a big straw, like a boba straw, down through your esophagus all the way down. And then they staple along the side of it and cut the rest off. So you're just left with this little sleeve of a stomach. And the part that they remove is the part that releases all the enzymes and stuff that digest alcohol. So after that surgery, you don't have the ability to process alcohol like normal people. And just like a little bit gets you a lot drunk.
Hey, saving money.
I'm a cheap date now, I tell you. Like before my surgery, they're like, if you were a drinker before this, you will not be afterwards, because like one shot for you is equivalent to like 6 or 7 shots for someone else. So you get lit pretty quick. I had like a couple sips of a strawberry daiquiri at a restaurant a few months ago. And I was like, I don't know if I can walk out of here. She's like, you had like this much. And I'm like, telling you, I don't know if I can walk out of here. I did, but I really had to pull it together to try to like act normal getting out of that restaurant.
You should start working on that, building up your tolerance again. That way you build yourself back up to a shot.
I never had tolerance to begin with, but now it's like there's none there. I just have to like smell alcohol and I'm buzzing. I think I saw a blue orb earlier.
Oh, I love those.
We need to talk about telepathy. We did it.
She did it. I'm just here.
No. So last week we decided to like start practicing telepathy, like seeing if we could do it, because both of us feel like we can do it. The problem is we second guess ourselves. We doubt ourselves. We always think that the information that we're getting in our heads is just us. Mm-hmm. Right. And so last week he's like, let's practice. And I'm like, okay, well, you send to me first. And so he's like, I'm sending it. And I'm like, I'm not really getting anything. I think everything I'm getting is just stuff my brain's coming up with. And I could hear Spomi saying stream of consciousness, like just start naming off all the things you're seeing. And so I was like, okay, I'm just going to name off everything that came to my mind. I felt like an overwhelming sense of love. I saw like a ASL, I love you sign. I saw the color blue. And as soon as I said that, he's like, you got it. You got it. That's what I was sending you. I wanted you to see Spomi as a blue orb the way I see him. So I was sending you the color blue. Her. And,
Nothing. Didn't say her.
Yeah. And so I'm like, that makes so much sense. First of all, I was stoked that I got it. But then it made sense to me, the other things I experienced or saw, because if you're clairsentient and you can feel Spomi's energy, it feels very soft, gentle, heart-centered. It feels like love. And Spomi always tells me he loves me. And so I felt the way he feels. I saw the I love you, and then I saw the blue. To me, that is Spomi. And so you sent it one way, I picked it up another, but I still got it.
Yeah, I was trying to get them to, like what I see, like little blue orbs that float outside of your head. They float around.
Yeah.
I was trying to push that, but you still got the blue. Now you're saying you think you saw the orb finally?
Yeah, I was sitting there and I bent over to pick something up, and in the corner of my eye was like this, probably not quite as big as a golf ball, but just like a blue, like right there, kind of like 7 o'clock. In my field of vision, quick, there and gone. I was like, oh, I saw that. That was bright.
Now, if I did that, I'd be like, I got to drop some weight. I'm almost passed out, bent over and saw some lights.
Right. And then the next one, I'm like, okay, do it again. And you're like, okay, I'm sending it. And I'm like, I'm not getting anything. I don't know. I'm just coming up with random shit from my mind. And again, Spomi's like stream of consciousness, just name the stuff off. And so I'm like, I saw the color orange. I'm hearing the word slice, and I'm seeing some kind of like obtuse like shape, and it has darker spots on it. And you're like, that's it, you got it. And I'm like, what? And you're like, I was looking at a Little Caesars pizza. I was sending you Little Caesars, like the pizza box, and it's like orange pizza slice pepperonis on it or something. It wasn't crystal clear. I didn't get a picture of a Little Caesars box. It was a little more fuzzy and obtuse, but it still was reinforcing to me that, like, I got it.
The cheapest of the pizzas.
Yeah. I don't ever want to eat that again, honestly.
So whoever is keeping them in business, shame on you.
We used to, because there was one right across from the church in Arizona when I still went to church. And we had a million kids between the two of us. And you could go over there and get those pizzas for cheap.
Yuck.
But did you ever, do you think you picked up anything I sent you?
Not that I'm aware of. It's, for me, it, as soon as I start trying, it doesn't work. I have to not be trying.
See, that's what I thought too. Did you, you should try this stream of consciousness thing.
I wasn't hearing anything. It's just like blank. Mm.
I thought I was getting nothing. And then you're like, that's it. You got it. And I'm like, what? I was stoked. I was so excited.
It's like, I don't become aware of it. I think we've talked about this. The way it works for me, it's when I'm not paying attention or I'm kind of zoning out, I'll start seeing flashes of randomness. Start hearing words that don't make sense to me, at least in the present, because it's out of context. See a person, hear a word. So I have to almost get into that kind of state where I'm not paying attention. I'm almost not here. I'm just kind of, it's starting to shoot through.
We should have a session where we just practice that. We practice like intuition and telepathy during an episode and just see what we can do. What do you think?
A lot of edits there. It's like,
well, here's the beauty of it. If it turned out garbage, we would just delete it. Nobody ever has to know.
He kept falling asleep.
But if it turns out cool, then we can post it.
I don't know if anybody ever noticed it, but you, with that one episode where there was something whistling on my side. I'm still hoping for one of these episodes. Yes, the orb. Dun, 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 dun,
dun. I'm hoping for that too. Best thing I got is last week, your microphone was echoing really bad. You'd be like, hi, I'm Jay. Hi, I'm Jay. You know, like the whole episode, it was like just a repeat.
It wasn't the mic.
Yeah, you'd be like, it wasn't the mic. It wasn't the mic.
You like it was to a the whole. Tone. It wouldn't have been like, it wasn't the mic. Then you're,
it wasn't the mic. It wasn't the mic. Your mom's not the mic.
See, like we're talking about, you don't trust what you, you get. I was at the grocery store earlier. And I was looking at stuff and I'm like, I need to get that. I don't remember the context of the conversation in my head, but it took off. And I'm sitting there talking to myself, going back and forth, insulting myself at times. Not necessarily insulting, but jokingly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't need that anyway. And, you know, going back and forth, then it hit me what I was doing. I'm like, that's how it usually, I'm not focusing on anything. I'm not paying attention. And that's when I start getting stuff like that. Full conversation breaks out.
A few times this week, I tried to send you stuff and I never got anything back, so...
No, you know, there's a good chance I may have, because there are several points when I'm busy, I'm like, I want to message her.
That's probably it, because I saw this TikTok. I may have sent it to you, but it was a lady talking about telepathy. I don't even know if it was a lady at this point. It was a person talking about telepathy, and they were saying that in order to send easier, get into a space in your mind where you visualize the person sitting right in front of you. One. Right. So she said to visualize the person that you're trying to send to sitting right in front of you. And, you know, visualize everything, like the look in their eyes, the way their hair looks, like really feel like they're physically there in front of you. And then lean forward and whisper in their ear what you're wanting them to know or what you're wanting to send to them. And then come back and look at them in the eyes again, and then go to the other ear and whisper it in their ear again. And then just trust that the information got to them and go about your business. Don't think about it anymore. So I did that a few times this week, you know, just like, Jay, if you're getting this, send me something about this song. Send me a meme like in the next 5 minutes or so. You know, just something like that to just test. This is a test of your emergency telepathy system.
Okay, so when I start getting those impulse, like, probably should message her. I'll pay attention. Yeah. I was like, I realize I'd been working or doing whatever. I was like, let me see what she's doing. That kind of thing.
Part of that could just be because you miss me.
Maybe. Or it could be prompts coming in. I'm focusing on what I'm doing.
Like yesterday when you said that song's been stuck in your head. And I was like, me too, for like days. I hear
that
it
could
all
be it, you know.
And I'm like, I wonder who sent it to who. I wonder who started that. You know, if I'm hearing you, are you hearing me? But that's not uncommon that we'll be into something or have something stuck in our head all week and it's the same thing.
For me, that's my greatest example of telepathy is usually songs or going places, like food items. You know, I'm a fatty. But I will be focusing on something and then somebody will walk in and like, God, I really want this. And I'm like, not sure who is broadcasting it, but it works now.
Right. Yeah. We have that a lot.
To start working on intentional, but it's the unintentional that seems to be more successful with me. You weren't intending on it and getting to me, but all of a sudden I'm like, why am I thinking of this? Something like that.
Right. Right. Yeah. I think you and I tend to be very corded. Most of the time we're pretty attached because we just spend so much time in each other's energy. And so I don't think it takes a whole lot for you to be craving something and then I'm wanting it, or vice versa, or thinking about something or a song stuck in our head. We tend to share that energy. And you're right. It's like, it's when it's not intentional.
It shows up.
It tends to happen the easiest because your ego and your brain doesn't get in there.
It doesn't know it's there. It's just no chance to stop it or to question it or to second guess it. It's like, I would like a box of orange slices. That sounds wonderful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Circus peanuts, too. Man. All yummy stuff. Yes, I finished mine the other day. I had been saving a pack. And after that really mean person I spoke to on Friday, I was telling you about, that mean guy, afterwards, I was just like, I'm going to eat these peeps, all of them. And I'm taking my PTO time. So I signed in and I took my PTO time. I'm stuffing peeps in my face and I'm just like, F this job.
So tell us about your bathroom projects. You've done a couple recently for yourself and other places.
Oh, yeah. So for myself, it's kind of been a long process. You know, ADHD kind of takes over and it's like, okay, we're done with this and we're out of there. So unfortunately, mine was left like 99% done for the last like 4 months, 3.5 months. And the last time I vlogged about it, if you watch my vlogs, that's the last time I touched anything. The tools were still laying on the counter. I would just clean around them. The stuff that was on the floor, I just swept around it. I'm not touching it. I'm not moving it. I was burned out. And I only had like, I had 10 pieces of quarter round trim to cut and nail in place and paint, touch up the paint and stuff. That's all I had to do. And I was like, I can't do it. But I did it. This last couple days, I got it done. Thing I have to do, which I didn't know it was a problem, so I'm only here alone all the time, so I never shut the bathroom door, but the transition piece that I got to go from the carpet to the tile is too big, and you can get the door shut, but you really have to work to get it open. So I have to figure out a solution.
They should make different sizes you can get.
I stood in that aisle forever and I couldn't find what used to be there, and I couldn't find what I was thinking I needed. So I got something that looks really pretty, but it's not the right thing, and I don't know what to do about it.
I've been described that way.
And then I had helped Fred with a bathroom project that he was hired to do. Kind of a shit show from beginning to end, but it's done. It looks decent, and we're just going to leave that there. I'm done with it. That's all I can say.
Wasn't exciting at all. It sounded exciting.
No, exciting as in there was always a, can you believe this shit happened? Let me tell you about this type of story. But no, it was a tiny, tiny little bathroom, like 6 foot by 6 or 7 feet. It was a tiny bathroom. And there were two grown men and me trying to work in there. And it was always like, excuse me, pardon me. You know, it was just a mess. But I got it done. I got paid.
There you go. You made some money.
That's it. It is what it is.
So you can buy yourself some treats. You know, I know it's a low spend year, but this is a little extra supplemental. So you can have a little fun.
It went in the safe. Locked down. Clink, clink. Yeah. How are you, Jay? What's going on?
No bathroom projects here. Just cleaning and, you know, fun weather.
Yeah, you guys are getting hammered. I mean, I got hammered. My house flooded a few days ago. I still had the towels down and everything in case it happened again. But you guys are, I've been seeing videos of flooding coming out of your state, and like, it's just been a mess. You okay?
Oh, I'm good. I'm just contemplating, will I be able to drive to work tomorrow, or will this be a work from home moment?
I think it's going to be work from home for a few days.
It could be. The water's up pretty high. The rain has finally stopped, at least for a couple days. So
knock on wood.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We survived.
You guys were getting tornadoes.
Mm-hmm. Around us. None hit this particular area, but yeah, definitely.
I've been requesting the most benevolent outcome for you, so hopefully you're going to do okay.
Well, you appreciate it. I always say, you know, it's this time of year, but this is not the time of year that always worries me. It's always January. You know, you have 20, 30 degrees, and that one wacky 60-degree day, if you have some weather coming in, it's like that contrast. That's when we get run over in this particular area.
Yeah, we had tornado watches, not warnings, the other day. But, you know, it's because we woke up in the morning, it was in the 20s, I think. Mm-hmm. And then by 3 o'clock, it was 70 degrees outside, and you had all this cool and warm air swirling. Always leads to no good.
Yeah. The only issue I have is my aversion to the sirens. Every time they go off, I'm just like...
We don't have those here. Part of me wishes we did, and the other part is glad we don't.
That's because you haven't needed them as much. Yeah, we do, because it... My particular area, it didn't get hit a lot, but it's like once every 10 years we get run over.
The thing is that we do need them a lot, just not as much as you. You need them like a whole effing lot. We need them a lot, but you need them even more.
It's always disturbing when you're near one and it goes off. Like,
yeah. No, thank you. Luckily, the phones go off now if it's super serious. And my alarm system, the main panel, will start going nuts if there's something serious. Other than that, I'm sleeping through it. Mm-hmm. I think we talked about that the other day. Like, what's going to happen is going to happen. I'm not missing sleep for this.
You're right. One spot's as good as the next. Even if you hid in the best place you have available to you, depending on the size of a tornado, it's not going to work anyway. I know some people are like, well, you still should take precautions. And I'm getting that sleep. Can I get that sleep?
If I'm awake and it's not a big deal, I'll go sit in the bathroom down here. It's because you're supposed to go like to the lowest level in the southeast corner away from hot water tanks and things like that that could burn you. The closest spot I have is, and away from windows and stuff, the closest spot I have is this downstairs bathroom, little tiny guest bath. So since nobody uses it because I'm here by myself, I just keep all of my stuff stuffed in the shower, like the cushions I sit on. I have blankets, I have jugs of water, some flashlights, and, you know, just stuff. So I may need
all out. I have my basement with some chairs and some moonshine and my squirrel jerky. We're fine. Only some of that's true.
So I just keep it stuffed in the shower. I've vlogged during tornado warnings and like sitting down there in the bathroom. Exciting stuff. If you've missed it, go find it.
I'm the dummy that goes outside and looks like, ooh, where's it at?
Craziness. We're all guilty of that, though. But yeah, the weather, I've had my towels still all over the floor. I just picked them up this afternoon. I was supposed to have a house cleaner start, and so I cleaned all the towels up, got everything ready, and then she stood me up. So irritating. I found another one that's going to come on Wednesday, though, and she's $50 cheaper, so win-win. It all works out.
You got me thinking about hiring cleaners now, so I should start looking around.
This one sounds like she's going to be good. I think I told you, the last one, she had been here several times last year. The things she did clean, she did a really good job. But she was inconsistent because she wasn't as thorough as I am. Like if you're cleaning the kitchen, if I hire you to do a thorough clean of my kitchen, I expect you to wipe down the cabinets, wipe down the refrigerator, wipe down the appliances. She didn't. She didn't wipe down any of that stuff. And on the counters, she didn't pull the things off and like clean behind things. She just wiped around things. Not cool. So we'll see how this new lady does. It's like Game of Thrones, but with house cleaners.
Oh, is it going to be death?
No, but I will smack talk you on my podcast. Okay, like
Game of Thrones. Are we killing people now? What's happening?
No.
This toilet's not clean. Dracarys.
Dracarys. You didn't wipe down my cabinet. Dracarys. Oh, that reminds me of that guy on TikTok that's always like, Revolution. Do you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I love him so much, the way he talks about it. I can't even think of some of the examples he has, but his whole premise is that he makes videos where he talks about things that are wrong in the world right now. You know, it's basically like, you want to know why we're revolting, what good reasons we have to have a revolution, that kind of thing. You know, he's just, for example, like egg prices are whatever number, revolution. And, you know, just he comes up with so many valid things, but the way he always ends up going, revolution. It cracks me up. He's got like this handlebar mustache that comes up. I'm going to see if I can find him.
Hey, she's bringing it to us live. Here we go.
Guy that says revolution. I wonder if he'll come up. Ah, he did.
Revolution. Number one, politics is voting no for firefighters getting benefits who fought fires on 9/11, despite the fact that every one of them posted on Twitter that we should never forget 9/11. Your words don't match your actions. Revolution. Number two, politics is voting no to raise the minimum.
Revolution.
It's easy to say that, but who's going to be the one that picks up the rifle?
I know it is. But anyways, that made me think of my house cleaners. You didn't wipe down the front of the refrigerator. Revolution. I don't have a dragon, or I'd be Dracarys.
Yeah, you can still be head, and you can get a sword. I mean, it can't get a dragon, but you can get a sword.
Well, that would be messy, and then I'd have to clean that up.
Well, it's just, it sends a message to the next cleaner that comes in.
Right. You know, I won't clean it up, and I'll hire someone else to clean it.
Head on pikes.
Yes.
You like that too much. I'm going down that rabbit hole.
Yes. And if I really am upset with you, not even the head, just like the whole body. Mm-hmm. Boy, this went dark.
I know. Very stabby.
Very stabby. Let's change directions.
Because he didn't wipe down the counters.
Are you implying that my standards are too high? Because I think they're just right.
No, standards are fine. Penalties are rough.
Well, in reality, all I did was hire someone different.
I'm going to trash talk you on the Facebook, the podcast, and then hire someone different. Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have been so bitter. Okay, guys, full story, because I left out a bit of it. She was supposed to come yesterday at 11, and she canceled last minute, like 10:50, and said, I know that I had scheduled with you today, but I have to cancel because I have a baby shower I forgot about. And of course, I was like, okay, well, that's not a big deal. And she's like, can we do it tomorrow? And I'm like, sure. What time? And then she didn't respond to me. And I finally said, can you be here at 11? And she's like, yes. So today at 11, she was supposed to be here. I canceled brunch plans in order to accommodate her rescheduling, in order to be considerate. And then she doesn't show up. She didn't message me first. She didn't text. She didn't call. And when I went to message her on Facebook Messenger, she had blocked me. She had blocked me. And so I sent a message to Kathy and I was like, see if you can see this girl's profile. And she's like, yep, it's there. Like, that's what I thought. In the meantime, I texted her to her phone. Hey, are you still coming? I thought maybe she slept in. It's Sunday. Feasible, right? And she never responded. So I texted again. She didn't respond. Then I went to the messenger board on Facebook and I just put a message saying, you know, hey, my house cleaner stood me up and has blocked me on Facebook instead of just saying, I want to cancel. Is there anybody else that's able to help me? Within minutes of me posting that, she suddenly messages me from a different account and says, I deactivated my Facebook. I didn't block you, and I'm at the hospital with my sister who's having complications and blah, 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 like all this dramatic stuff. And I'm like, no, you're not. You can't be dishonest with people who have gifts. That's all I'm saying. And so I didn't even argue back with her because, you know, if people need to cancel, that's fine. It's not like I would have been not understanding. Do you know what I mean? Like I would have been mean about it or anything. I might have been annoyed, but not mean.
Salty.
I would have been a little salty. Mm-hmm. But she lied and she acted disrespectfully and she tried to play in my face about it. And so I'm just like, we're not doing this. No. So I found someone else that offered their services for $50 less. So I'm just going to go with them and see how they do. That's the full story. That's why I was a little bitter because I'm like, it was just bad business. So we're moving on. So how's work going? How's your new job? You are trying to win boss of the year from what I hear. You are like striving to make an impression.
Well, it's not boss of the year. This is my standard operating procedure. Once I'm established, like, as long as you're doing what you should be doing, I don't micromanage. I hate micromanagers.
Preach. So
as long as your tasks are done, like one of the first things I'll tell people is like, rule one, don't get me yelled at. Rule two, make sure your stuff's caught up. And if those two are being achieved, you may not hear from me. I might come BS with you, but I won't be, you know, crawling down your neck. And beyond that, you know, we try to do things to have fun. You know, we'll have meals or we'll bring in donuts. But also, I want to celebrate your big moments. You got promoted. You're having a kid. You're getting married. Birthdays. Whatever is a big moment to you, let's celebrate it. Let's do a baby shower. Let's do a wedding shower. Let's do whatever. You know, we're going to celebrate it. One of my team members has gotten promoted to another department, a higher role. And so he was a fan of a particular wrestler. And so I found the wrestler on Cameo, and I paid him to do a congratulations video for him, and we surprised him with
super
it.
Super cool.
But yeah, anything like that. Let's celebrate our wins. Let's celebrate our big moments, and we're going to work hard together. We're going to have a good time together.
I love that. And so, like I said, you are striving for Boss of the Year, because that's effing amazing. People would love to have a boss like you, Jay.
And it you know, it's really weird for me, because what happens is I'll do these things. I'll tell a story of like two jobs ago. I would do that thing, these things. You know, we'd have baby showers, wedding showers, do the birthdays. I'd take them out to meals occasionally or bring pizza. You know, I do this without thinking. And this is something that's taken a while. And there's I think we may have done videos on it. We're going to do videos on it. A lot of this is putting out those positive vibes.
Yeah.
And putting out the goodwill and the kindness, but never expecting anything. Just do right. it to do it.
Right. Just do so it for goodness sake.
I got caught off guard one day. Apparently, they had been, you know, planning a birthday celebration for me. Uh-huh. And so I came into work on my birthday that day, and man, they had a tres leches cake, a giant pan of fresh tamales. They had all like chips, salsas, drinks, you know, more stuff. Like this giant table was set up, and, you know, all my current team, old team member, everybody's gathered around. We're all eating, having a good time. And so it comes back at some point. It may not come back in that fashion, but
that's great.
Put that out. Show them that,
yeah,
you know what? We're going to be positive. We're going to do these things. And not every day is not going to be a peach of a day.
Yeah.
It's not. Some days we got to work hard, and some days I'm going to get on to you about something. But if I have my way, we're going to have a good time. We're going to do the job. We're going to laugh. Love to laugh. I think everybody who's watched this long enough to know knows I'm going to try to tell a joke. We're going to have a good laugh. Like, get the job done. Have fun.
That's great.
This doesn't have to be a chore. You don't have to wake up every day and go, oh, I got to go in. Yeah, that's what I strive for. Yeah.
I love that. And that's just your natural personality. That's you embracing who you are as a person and letting it overflow. We've talked about this on multiple episodes. It seems to be a recurring theme, stressing the importance of being your authentic self. And I think that's just one of the things that makes you so great. So I'm sure that your employees appreciate that. I would love to have a boss like you.
I keep our refrigerator stocked with drinkies. I got a candy bowl. I got chip boxes. I'm like, I got you. Don't go upstairs to that break room. That crap's expensive. And it's turned into a communal thing. So as I've been adding to it, they add to it too. So we're all taking care of each other, a little community.
Yeah, I love that.
Anytime we have a customer come down, I'm like, hey, while you wait on it, I'll fix your computer. But while you're waiting, would you like a snack, a drink perhaps?
I want to be one of your remote employees.
I want to be a remote employee too, but not at this moment.
You could just like ship me the snackies and the drinkies. Fill my fridge with goodness.
Well, there's the story. This continued. My last job was fully remote, and so I couldn't do these things fully.
Yeah.
But I would still try to do positive things. You know, take this time off, help them out. Christmas, yeah. Send them Amazon gift card, whatever gift cards in the emails. Yeah. It's not as easy when you have remote employees to do team building things of that nature. Yeah.
My last bosses, my last management team, still the same company, but I moved from one pod to another. My last bosses, oh, they were that way. They were awesome. If we had a tough day at work, they would DoorDash us some Starbucks or whatever. They would, like you said, they would send us Amazon cards, Starbucks cards. They would ask what we wanted for lunch and they would DoorDash it to us. Like, they were just always so thoughtful. When my brother died, they sent me like huge flowers and some chocolates or something. When I had surgery, they sent me this big care box where they sent me all kinds of things that would take care of me and a comfy blanket to snuggle in. And they were just so thoughtful. This team is the polar opposite of that. But that team, they were awesome. I think they did the best they could do from a remote position. Yeah.
And when you said that, it's like, you got to go, you got to enjoy the rain if you're going to enjoy the sunshine. So sometimes you flop back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always fun.
Yeah. This team is like, no bueno.
Yeah. I try to spread the good times, not just to my team. Like if I have extra, the team next door to us, or like the security guard comes in like, hey, you want some donuts? Mm-hmm. Just teasing him. I'm like, because he's a cop.
Yeah.
Want some donuts? I teased him the other day. He was off on Monday. And I saw him on Tuesday, like, dude, I didn't see you up here. And he goes, I wasn't here. And I was like, I know, I felt so unsafe. He thought I was all being serious, like, there was a security issue. I'm like, no, I just felt unsafe. You weren't here. I started laughing.
When I worked at the clinic, I wouldn't say that they were ushy-gushy with the material things like that, but they had the same energy, but it showed up in freedom. Like, we don't need you to sit at your desk all day. As long as you have your phone and you're reachable and your patients are taken care of, like, we don't care if you walk down the street and sit at Popeyes for 2 hours eating a chicken sandwich. As long as we can get a hold of you, I don't need to know your whereabouts all the time. I don't need to have you under my thumb or be able to see your face 24/7. Like, just go enjoy your day. You had to stay within a perimeter, but shoot. Here, they're like, you were away from your computer for 3.5 minutes. We're going to need to know where you are.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, lady, I had to pee, and I had an extra large coffee earlier, so like it took a minute. And she's like, that's unacceptable. I'm going to need you to pee faster.
Not all pee-pee times are poo-poo times, but all poo-poo times are pee-pee times. Hit her with it.
They're out of hand.
I'm so lax. Like, yeah, if you're scheduled at 8:30 and you're here 8:30, I'm cool. If you overslept and got here 11... Cool.
As long as your work's
done. Yeah, there it is. Your work done? I don't care.
As long as your work's done and you are somewhat pleasant to be around, like you're not a nuisance to the department. Other than that, like, I don't care what you do. Get your work done. Like you said, don't get me yelled at for anything. Mm-hmm. We're cool. Yeah. I never want to go back into management. Never, ever. Honestly. I don't want to. And it's not even the people that are under you. They're usually relatively cool.
Not always, no.
But it's the uppers. Like, I have nothing in my body that wants to do politics in the corporate world. And
oh, no, that gets frustrating. It does.
And especially when you are in, like, a nursing field, the medical field, they want you available 24/7. In case there's something happening at the hospital, you have to be available 24/7. And I'm like, no.
It's the same thing with us. I mean, because we have systems and servers that run 24/7, people that run 24/7. Part of it is being high availability.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Kind of like you said earlier, you know, the bullshit detector. Sometimes they'll come tell you stuff, and I'm sitting there staring at them like, I know you're lying. Mm-hmm. But, you know, whatever. You do you. I'll keep doing me. Friends. Fist pump.
So, like, on my review every year, well, this boss didn't ask me because I don't think she likes me because I give pushback. But my previous management, they'd always be like, how can we talk you into training for management? And I'm like, you can't. They're like, but you have the skills. I'm like, I know, but no, you cannot. I'm not interested and you cannot convince me. It's a hard pass for me. I could probably be making so much more money, but at what cost?
You have to find the right place for that, because not all places are going to be great for that. Mm-hmm. Like where I was prior, it paid really good, but man, for this place, everybody's really nice, real chill. I mean, there's sense of urgency still because of the regulations and compliance and trying to get some of that stuff done, but it is a 9-day difference. And just the level of care, the level of enjoyment, I guess. Yeah. I don't wake up going, son of a bitch.
Yeah, you were struggling for a while.
I was like, the only reason I stay is because you pay so good.
Yeah, but you know, it's a good example of learning how to detach from the outcome and just find peace wherever you are in whatever situation, like even if you know it's not the best. When you're taking care of yourself, you can find the ability to feel grounded and centered, even in the midst of a place you don't want to be. Mm-hmm.
For me, I was like, I was able to pay for Disney and fly there twice with cash. So they pay good for anybody who's been to Disney. It's not a cheap place.
No, I haven't been to Disney since I was 6, 1979. You weren't even born yet.
I know.
That's crazy. Yeah, the last time I was at Disney was the year before you were born.
I was born in 2000. What are you talking about?
In your dreams, buddy. Yeah, back there in the 1900s.
Yeah, how were they?
I think I saw you there. Pretty sure I saw you there.
How were the 60s?
Yeah, I wouldn't know. When Darren was little, my son, he must have been in like first grade, but they were just learning about George Washington and how he allegedly chopped down a cherry tree, right? And he came home and he was so excited because he learned something new, and they drew a picture of George Washington and his cherry tree and his axe. And he came home and he's like, "Mom, we learned about George Washington. Did you read about it in the paper when you were little?" And I'm like, "No, honey, I must have missed that."
Sorry, babe. The printing press was fairly new at that time. Didn't make it to us.
Yeah, that was just a little before my time, sweetie. If he was like 6, I would have been like 26. I wasn't that old.
If you ever have a chance, go to see his mansion. It's pretty nice. Smaller than you would think.
I've been there.
Have you?
I did. I went with the Girl Scouts in like 7th grade.
So he was still there. Did you meet him?
Yeah, I hung out with Martha, you know. Yeah, we went on a trip to Washington, D.C. and went to all the places. We went to Arlington and to Mount Vernon and to, you know, just all the places.
I'm nice thinking about it from my distance. I'm like, how is that a Girl Scout trip? No, you're closer than I am. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, I don't know. It took maybe 8 hours. Hang on. Hey, damn, Siri.
For a Girl Scout trip?
How long does it take to get to Washington, D.C. from here? It's 383 miles. 5.5 hours from me.
Still closer than me.
Mm-hmm. I remember getting in trouble because they were all in the pool on the roof of the hotel, and I went to the room to use the restroom, but I didn't know I had to go with a person. So I just went, and they couldn't find me, and they were searching everywhere for me. I got in trouble for that.
You were gone for 3.5 minutes. Where were you?
Probably. Yeah, they were not happy. I imagine they were scared if a kid goes missing. I didn't know. I was so gullible and naive and like just so innocent as a kid. I was so oblivious. But yeah, it was a good time. I kind of fell in love with museums there and the Smithsonian and all the goodness. I've always wanted to go back.
I haven't made it there. That trip I did, we went through D.C., stopped at Bull Run or Antietam, I guess depends on your flavor, how you want to call it. Moved up to Gettysburg, stayed there for a few days and came back down and saw his house and then left.
I haven't been to any of those places, and I would like to go. I know they'd probably be emotionally tough.
Oh, yeah. No, we've talked about that. That was kind of
rough. I know it. I know. Mm. I'd still like to go at least once and be a witness.
Oh, yeah. You can stay at all the allegedly haunted bed and breakfast they have. I stayed at one. Slept amazing. Beautiful old house. Cashtown Inn. If you ever can, stay there. Beautiful house.
I've never been there, but I can attest that the energy's strong, because even just saying I would like to be there to bear witness, like the energy went... And, like, I instantly had to fight to not cry.
Oh, yeah, it was rough. Coming back from Gettysburg to the Cashtown Inn, whew, I was overwhelmed. Mm. I will tell you, if you've never been to Gettysburg, they have these viewing towers. Amazing views. Because you have to climb up, climb, 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 climb. Amazing views of the battlefield and the surrounding area. Good for photography. Terrible for your calves. The next day, Jesus.
When you were saying climb, 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 and I went, oh, well, never mind.
Oh, great pictures. The next day I was like, oh my God.
Now, if they had like an old lady lift chair that like me lifted you up, maybe.
Oh, that museum is pretty nice. Really interactive videos, big surround. It's a nice experience, especially if you're someone who likes history and a lot of gift shops and reenactor shops. And
the Smithsonian is awesome. They have so many different buildings and so many different Smithsonian like parts to it. Yeah, like each museum could be a whole day. It's fascinating.
I went to the one in New York, their big history museum. It's the only one I've been to anywhere remotely like that.
We went to the Natural History Museum with all the like dinosaur bones and stuff. And if you aren't aware, I have had a lifelong phobia of whales. I used to have recurring nightmares about whales and falling into the water with whales. And whales scare the shit out of me. And if you haven't seen inside of their cafeteria there at the Natural History Museum, they have a massive life-size replica of a big whale hanging from the ceiling. So it looks like you're in the ocean under the whale and it's swimming above you, which was what my nightmares were made of, literally. And I just remember having a full-blown panic attack when we walked in, and I looked up and I'm just like get me out of here. They had to pull me in there and I was just like covering my eyes the whole time. It was traumatic. And my kids were just like, Mom, that's so dumb. Why are you afraid of the whale? And I'm like,
I was plankton exactly in a past life. And
I used to joke maybe I was Jonah. Yeah, we were there for the Macy's Day Parade. And it's a bummer because the parade got canceled because it was raining. It was so cold and it got rained out. Well, they thought it was going to get rained out. So we actually went to New Jersey and stayed with a friend of mine. And they decided to hold the parade anyways. But the weather was so gross that we decided to just watch it on TV from New Jersey, which, wah, wah, bummer. But they blow up all the big balloons and the floats right outside of the museum we were at. So we got to see it all taking place, you know, them inflating all the floats that you've seen go down the parade for your whole life. It was pretty cool.
What do they use? They use hydrogen or helium or something else?
Well, I don't know. I saw the process happen, but I wasn't in the mix of it.
I always wonder that. And after, you know, the whole the Hindenburg is like, do they still use hydrogen at all? That's craziness.
Probably not then. Probably it's helium. But yeah, it was still pretty cool. Hard to park, though, because normally New York is hard to park in as it is. But on parade day, they have that whole street all the way down. What is it there? Central Park West, I think, is where it starts up by the museum. And then it goes all the way down and it ends up on Broadway there in front of the theaters and Macy's and all that. That's a long ways. And they have the whole road blocked off. So you can't park anywhere or access any of that. Had any cool dreams? Had any cool experiences?
Nothing recently. Just more work and go to work, sleep. Repeat.
Yeah, I told you, I think I had a dream the other night where I was in Pompeii, or even if it wasn't Pompeii, it was something that, like, ish, similar, like ancient Rome or something like that. It felt very ancient. I was in a kitchen, but with the dress I was wearing, it was more like it was draped and, like, you know what dresses looked like. Ha ha. Like dresses women wore in ancient Rome. It was more like a toga or so, you know, it was more like draped with like ties around. It was like that. They weren't all white. I was wearing like a dark gray blue with, and I think part of it was like maroon. I don't know. It was very interesting. And there was a snake, and this one was aggressive. Not to me. I wonder if that makes a difference. The snake wasn't aggressive to me, but when someone else went to reach for it, it bit them.
Your pet snake.
I've been dreaming about snakes a lot. And today, when I watched some of my tarot reading from the one lady I like to watch on YouTube, she was using two different decks shuffled together. I got two tower moments in a row. And snakes are a symbol in dreams of change, right? Change and transition. So I wonder if there's anything brewing for me. If so,
what's the significance of two towers? It just double the trouble or double the fun? Or
it's like, yeah, we weren't kidding. That wasn't a fluke. There's really a tower. We're going to give you another one to show you. Like, we're serious. It's coming. And towers don't have to be bad.
Well, that's why I use both. Double the trouble or double the fun.
Right, right. It just means that there's like death and rebirth or transformation of some kind, endings and new beginnings. But that's the symbol of the snake. Like the shedding of the skin, the rebirth, the transformation. The only thing that gives me any pause is that the snake was a little aggressive in this dream. Because I've probably had like five dreams of snakes lately. This is the only one where it was aggressive. Does aggressive mean there's change coming, but it's going to be hard or scary? Like mean? You know what I mean? Ugly?
I don't know what that means. I do have dreams of snakes. Mm-hmm. I've been bit by them. I've just seen them. I've been around them. It just, each dream's a little different. A lot of cobra ones and copperheads. Those are my top two I see a lot. Cobra and copperheads.
Meaning of aggressive snake in dream, anti-flow. Because we like to use anti-flow. All right, Flo, what you got, girl? Snake dreams represent life cycles. We're born, live, and then finally die. If the snake was aggressive in a dream, it's often connected to hidden enemies. Due to the coil of the snake in the dream, it represents our life cycle. It wasn't coiled. And that you need to take note of spiritual symbols in waking life. Snakes can indicate relationship frustrations, finding it hard to cope, hidden emotions, transformation, and the need for focus. Well, doesn't that sum me up, the need to focus? All right, so just more of the same, I guess. Transformation.
Maybe you just need to bite somebody.
Well, come here. Let me bite you.
I don't want to be bit by a snake.
I'm not a snake.
I mean, you're representing the snake, venomous.
Well, we don't get to choose who the snake bites. You don't get to choose. The snake chooses.
That's why I wear large boots and have a snake stick when I go outside and play with my chickens.
You know, as I'm looking to redo my flower beds, I was on TikTok last night. I fell down this soil preparation TikTok rabbit hole. Like, what is the best mixture? You know, like, you want some topsoil with some compost, maybe some perlite or vermiculite, maybe a little sand, you know, like mix it all up. But one of the things they said to add first to your ground is some chicken manure.
Oh, yeah. Chicken and duck. Ooh, that's some fertile. That's fertile.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know your old ladies are all retired over there from the egg producing and stuff, but, you know, you might be able to score on the manure part of it.
Well, I have given it to people. Like, can I get that? So I took the 5-gallon bucket out there. They're in one place, and I moved them to another place. I have never seen grass that luscious, that green, that dense. The grass grew on its own in that area. So dense, weeds weren't coming up, and it was just... rectangular spot in the yard that was brighter green and denser than any other part of the yard.
That's amazing.
That's where my garden is now.
Like, I'm going to need you. I'm going to need you to fill up a 5-gallon bucket, maybe even 2. Put them in your car and drive them up here.
There's no way I'm driving that far with chicken shit. That smells so bad.
I know. That was my point.
One of my strategies was, you know, when all the chickens finally pass, I was going to take down that coop, and then maybe that's why I was dreaming about chainsaws. Chainsaw the area back, and, you know, in that space, I'll be able to put about 2 fruit trees. I was going to drop 2 fruit trees. That way, their beginning of their life would be in that really fertile spot.
A dream about a chainsaw could symbolize feelings of control, power, or a need to cut away from something or someone destructive in your life.
Yes, I'm Leatherface now.
It's also a symbol of feminine energy.
I'm going to cut you off.
Off with their heads.
Typically, my feminine energy shows up in cake baking.
I know. That's what you said. Frosting. I think that is a yummy skill to master.
Not when you're trying to watch your weight. I can't let this whole tub of buttercream go to waste. Yeah.
How irresponsible would that be? You have to eat it.
I guess I didn't pay attention to it until I started making it, the different kinds. Really, it's just a ton of sugar and butter. Mm-hmm. I'm just eating sticks of butter with sugar. Holy crap. Arteries are clogging. My diabetes is flaring.
Your diabetes. I was just working with Courtney to pick out the cake for Amelia's baby shower. Trying to find it here. We have to go next week. I was going to do the colorful flower one, but seeing how she's having a boy, I'm thinking about the blue one. It's from a cake shop here a couple towns over. They do a good job, and they make really good macarons and stuff like that. Since we're having a tea party, we're going to get all kinds of little yummy treats like that.
I've been wanting a rum cake lately.
Ooh.
I had the sip of Coke. The only time you're going to see me switch from Dr. Pepper. I'm going to eat a rum cake. I got a sip of Coke with it for reasons.
I made a rum cake a handful of years ago at Christmas time. Whoa, did I put a lot in it. It was so strong. You could almost couldn't eat it.
If you have a good rum cake recipe, put it in the comments.
Yeah, I had just found this one on Pinterest or something, and I made it, but people went to eat it, and they're just like... It's like they took a big shot or something.
They're blowing out ethanol.
Lighting it on fire. And I love rum, but even I could hardly finish it. It was strong. It was pretty looking, though. Like, it had glaze poured all over it.
Oh, yeah. If you can get a good one. Mm, mm. Mm-hmm.
That's what she said.
It takes me back to another time and place.
So what do you have planned for fun this spring, summer?
The first fun we have planned is me and my daughter annually. We go to one of the larger cities near me as a metaphysical fair, psychic fair, if you will.
Yeah, so cool.
I go for my reasons, obviously, this channel. Mm-hmm. She goes because this is treasure hunting, because they'll have all the gems and different, you know, sizes, carvings, cutouts, and I have to put the ground rules on her. All right, girl, I'll buy whatever you want. It can't exceed what my pockets can hold. And this helps keep the cost down.
Okay.
And then from there, she loves getting the henna tattoos, and so we'll get tattoos, and then, you know, my part of it, and, you know, I'll go try different booths, whether it's the aura pictures or the different kinds of readings. I love it. I love going there, mingling, and just watching all the people. And, you know, sometimes you'll sit there and they'll say some amazing things. Sometimes you sit there and I'm like, But, you know, I enjoy it, so.
The last time we had one in this area, well, I'm sure it wasn't the last time we had one. The last time I went to one in this area, you know, there was the room where you sign up to get a reading from all, there's so many people in there and you choose one, get a reading. Well, I just chose one randomly because I didn't know anybody from anything. And I ended up choosing this really young guy. I swear, I think this was his first reading.
He
was cute, wasn't
he? That's what you did.
No, he looked like he was about 17, and he looked like he was terrified. And like, I didn't see the people before they had like a big bulletin board in the hallway with these are the names and these are their specialties, like what they'll give you a reading about or if it's tarot or whatever. So I just basically like threw a dart, you know, like, I don't know, like this person. It ended up being this really young kid. I swear it was like his first reading ever. He was terrified and he didn't get anything right, but he was trying so hard. And I was trying to be patient with him, and I was trying to like send him the answers. I was trying to help him out, and he'd be like, does that resonate? And I'm like, well, maybe not, but why don't you try again? Why don't you try again? I just felt like he was one of my kids, and I wanted to give him a big hug and go, it's okay, we'll keep trying. I felt really bad for him. But yeah, there was nothing accurate that happened for sure.
But he was brave enough to be out there trying, so good for him.
He was. I was proud of him because that took courage.
I won't be out there doing that. I like participating and enjoying, but I'm not going to sit there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always said when I went to Sedona last year that I was going to go to the Center for the New Age because I followed them on social media and like I used to get their videos in my email every week. And they have this really cool building. It's like a bright indigo purple blue color, and it has like a big colorful painting on the end of it. That's, I don't know, is it somebody reading a crystal ball maybe and a rainbow? But anyways, I always swore I was going to go there and get a reading from one of theirs, but they were so expensive.
You've done Jamie Butler, it's all good.
It was about on that price level.
That's impressive.
I walked in and even the crystals, like a little crystal that like at the local crystal shop might be $5 or $6, they wanted like $50. And I'm like, we're going to put that right back. I didn't get anything.
We're going to look and we're not going to touch.
Center for the New Age. Sedona. Yeah, we're going to look and not touch.
Hands in pockets.
Yeah, hands in pockets. Okay, I guess it's not a crystal ball. It's an earth. Okay. But yeah, like a big mural on the end of the building. When I went, Amelia was like, please go to the Center for the New Age and like buy me something. I was like, okay. So I went in there and I was like, no.
You just go to the other shop, buy it, but don't tell her.
Right.
If you're watching, I didn't say that.
Yeah. So I took a lot of nice video in there because they do have quite an impressive collection.
It's like, you hit her with, we have McDonald's at home.
Right. You got McDonald's money?
Oh, that's amazing.
Right. Oh, my God. It's that time. I'm itching. I want to go back. It's been almost a year.
I've never been. I do want to go, but this job transition is, you know, PTO is at a premium at the moment.
Well, you know, I invited you. Let's go. Well,
let me start building. I've got like maybe 2.5-3 days of PTO built. So this year is not the most ideal, but we're trying to build that up.
I just put in for my 3 days of PTO.
You're burning that shit up.
For in another couple weeks. I'm afraid when I transfer to this new company that somehow something's not going to transfer or something. I kind of want to use my stuff up so it doesn't get lost. And I don't know. They say it won't.
You never know.
And I only have a couple days.
I was glad I burned out all my PTO right before the layoffs hit. I was like, I didn't know the layoffs were coming, but yeah. Burn them out. And then I came back a week later, we're laid off. Like, well, at least I got my vacation in.
The best times to go to Sedona are in the spring or the fall. And I would be more inclined to say the fall, simply because in the spring, there's other things that my brain worries about. Like, that's right when rattlesnakes are mating and things like that. And like, my brain goes, there's more danger to look out for. I'm a snake.
Did you ever see that guy?
I did, and I can't remember where.
Was it back during the vine period, probably?
I remember it. I don't remember all of it. But then the fall, I mean, there's always snakes and scorpions. It's the desert, but they're not as ramped up. You know, during mating season, everything's crazier. Mm-hmm. But you don't want to go in the summer.
Oh, it's just hot. It's fine. You know what? If I'm leaving from this summer to that summer, I'm okay. Because there's no damn humidity. I know it's hot, but at least I'm not sweating 4 buckets just stepping out the front door.
I miss Arizona so much. I love it there so much. And most of it is because of the no humidity. Like, it just feels different. The very energy of the land feels different. It feels sacred and high vibe and just grounded and beautiful and lovely. It's just, If you've never been there, you've got to go check it out. It just feels different. The minute you get off the plane and you step out of the airport, you can feel a difference. Lovely. And then Sedona is just the best part of it, in my opinion, anyways. Yeah. Whenever you want to go, tell me.
You should go to Yuma. I hear that's a good place.
You can go there. I'll wait for you.
I've been there. For the north. It's a wonderful place. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm not talking about Yuma, the city. City might be great.
In another
occupation, I went in the combat area that we do war games in, and that was unpleasant.
If anyone out there is from Yuma, no offense, but Yuma's kind of like the armpit of Arizona. Like, no, there's nothing good happening in Yuma.
They had good Burger Kings and McDonald's there they took us to get some food once. It was wonderful. I felt terrible for those workers because imagine your Arizona temperatures and, you know, hundreds of us, 30 days or more, no showers. We bum rushed the McDonald's and Burger King. I felt bad for them. I'm sure the lobby was...
What months were you there?
I'm trying to remember what time of year it was. It was hot. I don't remember the time of year. I don't remember off the top of my head. It's been probably 20 years ago.
Gotcha. Yeah, because Arizona, it's like kind of like the Midwest is with winter. It's really only cold here from December, mid-December. Because, I mean, November's chilly. There's a difference between chilly and cold. It's really only cold, like from around Christmas through March. Those 3 months. And it's the same in Arizona. Most of the year is just absolute divine perfection. Blue skies, no rain, perfect temperatures, no humidity. And then you have about 3 months from like June through September, maybe May through August, that it's just scorching.
It's still cold. That's my experience from living outside doing some of that stuff. Say it's 110 that day, 115, whatever it is. And then as soon as the sun drops, you're shaking. It is bad.
Mm-hmm. Same with, it can be 120 degrees outside. And when you get out of the swimming pool, you are going to be shivering so hard your teeth are going to break. Like, you're freezing. It's just so different out there. And like, the water evaporates so quick because it's so hot and there's no humidity. Like, you instantly freeze. Crazy. But I'll take it.
Apparently not. You gave that up for OHIO?
I gave that up for grandbabies. Maddie got pregnant with Freya, and I'm like, I gotta move home now. Gotta be by the babies. Fat lot of good it did me. I never get to see them, but I'm here.
You're there in the Buckeye State.
Right.
I like Buckeyes, the chocolate and peanut butter treat.
Hell yeah.
It was delicious.
Yes, they are. Very much so.
I'm looking forward to possible vacations later. I just gotta build up the PTO.
I never have anyone to go on vacation with or anything. It's kind of like pointless. I do usually like to take a little bit of time off in the spring or the summer to like enjoy my patio and the pool and things like that. And then I usually take a week off closer to Christmas, but I'm not a big goer or doer of the things.
I'm trying.
It's no fun when you're by yourself. It's just no fun. It's not as much
fun. Who was I talking to the other day? I was talking about, you know, my fishing expeditions I try to do every year. And do you go by yourself or who do you take? And I said, take anybody that'll come with me. This goes back to the boss conversation. Like, I'll book a really nice charter.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, just trying to get people to go because sometimes they don't have time. Sometimes they don't want to. And here's the one that really gets them is they're reluctant because things are expensive. It's like, I just can't afford that. I didn't ask that. I just said, can you come? Yeah. All I want from you is get on the boat, bring some snackies with you. And if you feel like you need to contribute, just bring a little bit of money to help me tip the first mate. It'll be cleaning the fish or if we catch anything afterwards.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? I'm like, yeah, just come. I got you. If I'm inviting you, I'm not asking if you got money.
I always envisioned when my kids got older that we would still take family vacations or we... Mm-mm. And as little as they get along and stuff and somebody's always beefing with somebody, I'm just like, yeah, I don't know. Mm-mm. I mean, you'd get there and you'd spend all this money and then somebody would say one wrong thing and somebody sensitive would take it the wrong way and like the whole thing would go up in flames. Do I want to take that risk?
You could do rotations like, you know, this year is so-and-so, next year is so-and-so.
Who's getting along? We have two spots. Who's getting along? And they're always like, we're all getting along. I love my sisters. Now experience has shown. It has taught me. Somebody is lying.
You know, we could do like, you know, that last Disney trip I did, you know, some of the people that came with us, I get along with, but it's in bursts. So everybody, instead of, you know, one of the rooms I rented had like the multiple rooms in it. I was like, nah, you got to get your own room. You could do something like that. For those who are getting along, it's like, we're going to go here and rent this. There's two locations right next to me. Like, say they're townhouses that are all adjoined. Yeah, we'll be here. We can do stuff in the afternoons during the daytime, but then you go back to your own place.
Mm-hmm.
Now that comes into, you know, does everybody have enough money to pull that off? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
I actually thought about you guys one time before I lay off and I had tons of vacation. I was like, I could do one of those cabin things. They have some of them cabins that have like 20 rooms are expensive as shit. She could bring her kids. But then I was like, damn, I don't know who gets along with who. I'd be sitting there. These cabins up in that particular mountain range, I would have probably a shotgun with me anyway. You know, there's bear and whatnot. And no, I'm not going out killing animals because that's not what I do. Right. But if you're not, you know, kind of like camping, if you don't do it right and, you know, you grill or live food out, they will come up. And so this is more like if they get in the house and pose a threat, that's so anybody's like, don't be killing animals. That's not me. But I was like, yeah, we could all be in there. I was like, I may have that shotgun for you guys. What are you guys up to?
Most of the time they get along great. And as they get older, they do better. When they were younger, it could go up in flames. But now it might just be a little bit more of a silent treatment. You know, just like, well, I wanted this for dinner. And she said she wanted that. And it's because her friend wanted that. She doesn't like me. She likes her friends more. And then they'd be mopey. It's just, they're so sensitive.
Hey, I got the solution with that one. And they like having a big kitchen, be like, all right, we're here 5 days. Every night it has a person assigned and it's your duty to, you're cooking. You cook what you want, but you're cooking for everybody. If you guys don't like it, well, on your night, cook what you want. And if you don't like it that much, well, take your ass to McDonald's. Or you know, there's a ton of restaurants around here. Enjoy yourself. And if on your night to cook, you don't want to cook and you want to order pizza, you know what? That's good too.
We were talking about renting one of those big houses a year or two ago for the membership on my channel for our members. Remember we were talking about going to Sedona? And you had offered to pay for the house, and I was going to pay for all the food, and all they had to do was show up, and nobody could make it. So we didn't end up going, but
that I hated been... the job, but it paid well.
Right. So that would have been cool, though. Now I don't know if I would feel safe inviting anybody into the United States that's not already here at this point in time. I'm not sure about that, but...
Oh, they're the snow-colored people, like we talked about earlier. They're okay.
Not necessarily. I saw...
Just don't speak.
I saw a story of a young British girl, she was in her early 20s, that was here on vacation, and another one of another lady from somewhere, Canada. They were here to do like a 3-month backpacking trip of America, both my color, and they got snatched up by ICE and deported after being held for quite a while, which was traumatizing.
Did they have the right visas for that length of time?
I don't know. I remember reading the news article.
I'm not justifying ICE. Screw the guys. But, you know, it's if you're going to come here in the current environment, make sure you have your T's crossed, I's dotted. Mm-hmm. Do it right. Don't halfway do it.
Did you see that they found ancient tarot cards?
Mm-hmm. You sent me that one.
Yeah, that was pretty cool, huh? I don't remember where they were from, though. Do you?
You were there when they were made. Tell me.
Your mom was there. I don't remember where.
It's in France somewhere.
Was it? There were two different stories. There were two different decks. I think one of them might have been France.
But yeah, one you sent me was in a book and the writing was French. That doesn't necessarily mean France, I guess. There's other places that the language exists. Belgium, depending on time frame. Quebec. I'm sure there's some other places I don't know.
Right. Very interesting, though. Anything to add before we wrap up this episode?
You're very stabby today.
You're not stabby. You're stabby. You're provoking. You're fishing. You got the hook and the bait, and you're trying to, like, yank me up.
Bad influence you are.
No, you're coming for me. You're like, let me see how I can bait her. Let me get a reaction. And then I react, and you're like, whoa.
Whoa. Apparently, I'm a master at that.
You're reacting.
How dare you call me on my bullshit.
No, I'm not stabby. Not at all. Anyways, thanks guys for hanging out with us and putting up with our nonsense. If you have anything to add, any questions, comments, any topic ideas, we would love to hear them. Our lineup is pretty set for the rest of season one, but you know, season two, we may be having some guests, some guest speakers. If you have any topics, feel free to send them our way. All right, you guys. Love, love, love.
Have a great week. Love you.
Bye.